You're listening to the Sooner Junkies podcast for Sooner fans.
All right, this is the Sooner Junkies podcast. Myself, Connor Pasby. We do not have co-host Josh Irvin, but we do have a special guest with us, the Extra Point co-host, Brandon Lewis. First off, thanks for hopping on the Sooner Junkies podcast, Brandon.
Oh, absolutely, man. Thanks for the opportunity. Man, it's all about we all trying to eat at the same time, so we got to help one another.
Right, man. So, it's obviously we got the spring game coming up Saturday at 3 p.m. We got Baker Mayfield's Heisman statue reveal. Brandon, we just got anticipation just boiling up for the spring game and the new era of OU football with Brent Venables. Pretty exciting time.
Oh, absolutely, man. The culture that he's bringing to OU is amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't too big on the hire, but after seeing what he's doing at OU, man, that was the best move we could have made, honestly.
And then the tides going back with Brent Venables being a DC for a long portion of time with OU. Then after the hire with Brent Venables, we saw the coaching staff that he brought in, guys who have been part of the OU system. So I think that's why a lot of people are just excited for this new era.
Right, and it's all about bringing people back home, and that's the thing that he's bringing. He's bringing that mentality and that family mentality that we've been missing for years, and the energy, you know. And one thing I love about Brent Venables, you know, he's big on, you know, God, and, you know, he believes in bringing everybody together and making everybody, you know, better people.
Right, and then we get for the spring game, what position group are you excited to watch Saturday?
Man, I got quite a few. I'll say definitely quarterback Dylan Gabriel. You know, yeah. I watched him when he was at UCF. So I look forward to how that transpired and then seeing who his backup is. Also, the running back group, you know, I've been hearing a lot about Javonte Barnes, you know, yeah, as a freshman. Then, you know, got Eric Gray. Then we can't forget about Gavin, you know. He won't, you know, of course, join us until the summertime, but, right, you know, that's looking good. And then, you know, our receiving core, you know, how the whole, you know, how they connect with Dylan Gabriel. I know they've been doing a lot of bonding and stuff like that. So that, and definitely our secondary. Secondary was kind of a big issue last season. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they're all buying into, you know, what Venables have planned. So I think it's going to be, you know, exciting.
Right, and I agree with you with the running back spot, and I don't think you mentioned a name yet, but Marcus Major is a guy you can't forget about in that running back room. I mean, last year he dealt with some academic problems that was kind of hidden, so we didn't really know till later in the season. But, yeah, Marcus Major, you got Eric Gray back, and he's going to be exciting for the passing game with Jeff Lebby in the system.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Javonte Barnes, the highly talented five-star. So that running back room is very deep, and they're going to be really excited to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, you know, we can't forget about Jay Knowles. You know, I hate that, you know.
I know.
You know, but
kinda,
the dude is amazing.
He kind of gets hidden. He kind of gets hidden in that running back room. Yeah. And then, and the defensive line, Jeffrey Johnson, the Tulane transfer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lule, the Hawaii transfer. You got Jalen Redmond back, and it's going to be really exciting with Todd Bates' system. Mm-hmm. Ethan Downs on the defensive end spot. Igwebu. I mean, there's just a lot of talent that
we'll be making all night, dude, you know, because of all the talent that we have, even with the freshmen that are coming in. And, you know, something else we can't forget about is our linebacking court, too, as well. You know, you got Deshaun White, you know.
Which could be a break. I could see a breakout year with Deshaun White back in that. He's kind of going to be the anchor of that defense.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with you.
And then, well, we got a lot of former players making an appearance for the spring game. We've seen guys on Twitter, like they have this like Twitter, like effect. They tweet out about them coming back. Kenny Stills, Lane Johnson. Tom Ward is a guy that I've loved watching growing up. There's a hard-nosed linebacker. Tony Jefferson. A lot of these guys are defensive guys that played with Brent Venables.
Right.
So that's really exciting for them to come back for their former defensive coordinator and see what he's going to accomplish at OU.
Well, you know, they already, you know, bought in when they were here with the program, so they already know what to expect and what's going to happen. So, you know, like I say, he brings that family mentality. So they're just coming back like a family reunion. That's what I'm calling it.
Right. And then I'm really excited. I think I saw Jason White put something on Twitter that he's coming back. So that's going to be awesome. I have not seen – been a while since I've seen Jason White at the Gaylord Stadium. So, man, it's going to be fun to see – it's going to be fun to see all these former players back.
Dimitri Flowers.
Dimitri Flowers.
Oboe is coming back after winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
Creed Humphrey, you know, Gallimore. It's a lot of guys are coming back. And I'm sure it's a lot more coming. They just haven't put out that they're coming.
Right. There's going to be – yeah, I feel like there's going to be quite a few more – a lot of the defensive players who play with Venables, a lot of them are going to want to come back and see their former coach. I had a chance to talk with Corey Nelson, a former linebacker with OU, who played under Brent Venables, and he said he's coming back. So it's fun to see all these former guys that
it's going to be a far-sighted event. Yeah.
Guys absolutely. Who just enjoyed playing with Venables and coming back. They've been just waiting for this moment to talk to their former defensive coordinator.
Right, right. And that's what it's all about. You know, that's how you know he was a good coach when all your former players are all of a sudden just coming back, you know.
And Venables actually he keeps pointing out he wants fans to do their part. You've seen that in numerous press conferences that he has. Like he's saying, we've been doing our part, all the grinding, all the wake up, lifting, all the workouts. Now he wants to see the fans do their part and come out to the spring game, which we've seen. There's been some spring games, Auburn, Texas A&M, a few others, where the attendance really, they've had pictures of the attendance. It really hasn't been great. So right. I think Venables wanting to make a point where he can bring in a lot of fans and make it just a fun atmosphere in Norman.
Right, right. Because a lot of people look at, you know, the spring game as just like a practice, but really, you know what I mean? You don't want to, of course, pull out too many, you know, weapons or whatever.
Right.
But the thing about it is this is the time for, like, everybody to have fun, you know, before it gets down to business in the fall.
And the first time we've seen football for quite a while time. So that's why fans want to come back. And because, you know, the culture in Norman. Like, it's exceptional, and so people want to come back and, you know, see their team and see what they're looking for the 2022 season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, man.
And then can't forget about the Baker Mayfield statue reveal that's going to be at halftime. I've looked back at some Baker moments. If you look back, what is your favorite Baker moment when he's at OU?
Well, my first one, I'll have to say the Ohio State. Playing the flag at midfield, but also that game when he went back and forth with Patrick Mahomes. Like, it might have won the defensive game, but that was like one of the best offensive games ever. You know, I think they put up over 1,000 together, so almost 2,000 almost. So that probably had to be my best Baker Mayfield moment.
Then I think OU defense set up, or they set every record that you don't want to be set.
Right, right.
Breaking, allowing. I think Patrick Mahomes threw for close to 700 yards. It was just ridiculous numbers. But I think Tennessee 2015, which really sticks to me because I feel like that was kind of the birth of Baker, where we first like saw what Baker was about. Because in that first half, it wasn't going great. Baker can agree that it wasn't the greatest first half for Baker. And that second half was rallying troops, coming back, and that fourth quarter and those two overtimes is going to be – that's something that we just can't forget about in Baker's career.
Right, right. And he's always playing with excitement. You know, that's the thing.
Right.
You know, every time you look at all his different highlights, he's always up jumping, you know, like, come on, dude, we got to pump it up. We got to get back to playing. You know, so that's one thing about Baker. You know, he was always energetic on the field.
And then we saw there was a QB – it wasn't overtime. The QB option that he had with P. Ryan were – P. Ryan got that kick out block and Baker scores.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then he gives a little shush to the crowd.
Yeah.
And the commentary says, what a gutsy performance, what a gutsy quarterback he's been in the fourth quarter in overtime. So that game just gives me chills every time I think about it. And did you happen to see the Lincoln Riley Players Tribune?
Yeah, I was just reading that. You know, in my opinion, to me, that was kind of like, one of those things where maybe his agent was like, man, you need to go clear some things up and tell him how you feel. But I just don't feel like it was really sincere, in my opinion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the way everything unfolded, you know, somebody that was sincere would have came out with it right then and there. And I feel like it was just a lot of excuses in it.
A lot of excuses. And I feel like you can't say all that just based on, like, after the Bedlam game and leaving within a night. I don't think you have much of, like, sadness and all right. that you're feeling on the plane going to USC and LA. I don't know if you're really feeling that on the plane.
Right. And it sounds to me like it was already planned. Like, you already knew what you're going to do. Your mind was set on it. So he just moved forward with it. I mean, that's all he had to say. Just be clear and, you know, cut and blunt with it, pretty much basically like, hey, this is what happened. You know, I have apologized, but this is where I really want to be, you know. And he said that when he got the call from Bob Stoops that he was going to be offensive coordinator at OU, he, you know, he just knew that was, you know, place to be. And he thought he was going to finish his career at OU. And I'm just like, come on, you know. Look at Bob Stoops.
A lot of smoke he's talking about. I don't know if I really believe it. And he mentioned the having a big team meeting, because I've seen former players talk about how it just lasted, you know, 5 minutes, that it really wasn't much of a meeting, and that Bob Stoops kind of had to force him to come talk to the team. So I don't know if I'm really believing in the long team meeting that he had with the team.
And a lot of players that I have talked to even said, you know, pretty much like that's not the way it went down. People were going on posting videos and stuff. I don't know if you saw when Jeremiah and Braden Willis got on and they were talking
about their podcast. Yeah, I did see that.
So, I mean, come on now. And those are pretty much sincere guys that, you know, flow under the radar, you know. Right. So, I believe them over him.
Well, when he gets ready for L.A., if you had to give a record that Lincoln Riley has in its first year, what are you saying? How well is he going to do in his first year at USC?
I don't think he's going to have a winning record, to be honest with you. I think I don't think so. He don't have the pieces. I mean, yeah, he might have Caleb Williams, Mario Williams, but the thing about it is they're struggling on defense.
They are. They did. You know? They lost quite a bit, and they've got some talent. They're just young.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see how Lincoln Riley does with the, you know, the young guys that he has, because we've seen him at OU where he already has guys that have played a few years with Bob Stoops, so they're already, you know, built for these atmospheres and stuff. So we'll see how he does with the youngsters.
And then you gotta worry about Dan Lanning, you know, from Georgia going over to Oregon.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not gonna be an easy task, you know.
It's for sure not gonna be a blow by in the Pac-12. I mean, he has Utah, Oregon, and you can't forget about Notre Dame at the end of the year, which I don't see them winning against Notre Dame. So it's not going to be just a blow-by year for Lincoln Riley this first year.
Right. And if you notice, majority of the coaches on his slate, a lot of the teams that he's playing have brought in defensive-minded coaches.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, we'll go back to the spring game a little bit. You're going to be at the spring game, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll be at the spring game. So much anticipated. This has to be the most anticipated spring game I think we've ever had at OU.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I remember getting ready for a spring game, but I don't remember having this much passion going into one.
Right, right. I remember the first time I posted been going to a spring game. I can't remember what you year it rained. They had switched it to Sunday. That was the year I posted going to my first spring game, and I didn't end up going. So my first spring game actually in person was last year, and that was amazing. I loved it.
I was there too. That was actually happened to be my second one. I really can't go to some, have other stuff going on, but I'll be there Saturday too, which, man, it's gonna be fun. I think anticipation has to do with something with obviously Baker Mayfield coming back for the Heisman Trophy. I think Brandon Bowles loves that, because he was talking about that in his press conference, just about, you know, how much joy and passion Baker Mayfield brings to Norman and how much the university really means to Baker Mayfield.
Right, right, yeah. And you can tell he loved it. You know, that was the right – I honestly think that was the right move for him, going from Texas Tech to OU. You know what I mean? He became a totally different player. And, you know, he dominated at OU. You know, you can't go past that, you know.
Right. And I had a chance to – I saw Baker. I don't know if you remember, but the first game he played, Texas Tech versus SMU in the first game of the year, his first season, I saw that. I'm like, man, this Baker Mayfield dude can play. And then we saw them. I mean, he got injured, and then things just really didn't work out with him at Texas Tech. He lost his job and really couldn't climb back into that starting position. And so yeah. he said, might as well just go to Norman, become a regular student for a week. You know, just do some workouts on your own and go see Bob Stoops.
Oh yeah,
that takes a lot of guts to do that, especially after Trevor Knight just coming off a Sugar Bowl victory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the type of dude Baker is. Just competitor. Oh,
absolutely. And not everybody can say they can do that. You know what I mean? It takes a lot of courage, perseverance, and everything to be able to make that type of move. You know what I mean? Because, you know, as a college student yourself, you know, it takes a lot of work. You know, you got to do like financial aid, make sure the numbers are going to work.
Right.
You know, you want to go up to a whole different state and you're not be able to afford it and stuff like that. So it takes a lot of work to make all that happen before you even make it to the football field.
I think it's just funny the way he came to OU. It was a team meeting with Bob Stoops, had a team meeting with the team, and Baker just comes up to Bob Stoops after the meeting and says, Hey, Coach Stoops, I'm Baker Mayfield. I'm transferred from Texas Tech. I would love an opportunity to play in your team. So that's just awesome. That's just the type of dude Baker is.
Right, and that's what it's all about, though. I mean, if you want to sell yourself, you got to put yourself out there. You
right.
can't be afraid to go to people. And, like, even if they say no, you keep trying. You know, you never give up. So, I mean, that's one of those examples. That's what happened. You know, he sold himself. He showed and proved, and the rest was history.
Right. I'm glad Baker Mayfield's coming back to this for his Heisman stature reveal, because Baker's got a lot of stuff going on right now in his NFL career. Yeah. We don't really know where he's going.
Right.
So good for Baker Mayfield to come back. But where do you see Baker playing next stop in the NFL?
That's a good question. We know it's not going to be Cleveland, of course.
Right.
They made that move of getting Deshaun Watson. They basically proved like what they're going to do. Man, you know, Carolina's been out there.
Right.
They need a quarterback, because I just don't think who they have at quarterback right now. Sam Darnold is not the answer.
Yeah, Sam Darnold. Yeah, he's coming off. He was banged up a lot last year. I think he only played 9 games. So they have a tough decision whether to – if they want to get Baker Mayfield or take a risk in the NFL draft by getting the Liberty quarterback.
Yeah, Malik Willis.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean
the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers are.
Yeah, that's another good move. Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen the Steelers talk about like saying if Baker happens to be released by the Browns, they're going to be the first team that's going to go after Baker.
Right, and that's smart because I mean he played in your division. You know what he's capable of. You know, that'll be a smart move to me, in my opinion. I'll say either Carolina or Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And then, it would be hilarious if he goes to the Steelers, because you also have Mason Rudolph would be his backup.
Yeah.
And Baker and Rudolph had some moments when they went at it in Bedlam.
You know, they went and Trubisky, too.
Yeah, Trubisky. Yeah. And, Browns, Steelers would obviously they'd go at it because they're both rivals. So it'd be funny to see Baker in a Steelers uniform going against the Browns. 2, maybe 3 times in the season if they get to the playoffs. Yeah, I'm just ready. I think Baker's needs a stabilized home, because we've seen moments of Baker, but you got to look at, I mean, the 4 different head coaches he's had since he's been in the NFL. That's not easy for any quarterback. I don't care who you are. You got to go. You have a different offensive system each year. So that's not easy.
And, you know, honestly, Cleveland wasn't the place to be. I mean, you know, I call it the quarterback graveyard.
Yeah.
You have seen quarterbacks come through there and they just don't succeed.
Right.
You know,
we've seen sparks, but I mean, it's just hard to succeed in Cleveland. It doesn't matter how many like weapons you have. I mean, that's a team that's just known for, you know, known for losing.
Right, right.
We've seen Baker's rookie year where, I mean, Tyshawn Taylor started off and then Baker came in later. He kind of played with just loose, just nothing to lose because it was in that back half of the year. Then right. The next season, Baker described that in that podcast he was just on with the Y and K, just the, you know, the up and downs he had in Cleveland. The second year with OBJ coming in, it was kind of a dumpster fire.
Yep.
Then the year, the third year, we kind of saw him like back to himself. They were running the ball really well. He was making plays. And then the year we just had, we saw the injuries that really just kind of hit Baker. He kind of couldn't really get over him, but we know who Baker is. He's just going to keep playing. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get Baker Mayfield out of a game, no matter what injury he has.
And I feel like in Cleveland, it was a lot of personality clashes. You know, you have OBJ and then you have Baker, you know, those are two big personalities. So they didn't work right, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot of drama. You wanted Baker's not used to having just one guy to throw to, like one guy being the, you know, the guy to throw to, because at OU, he had multiple weapons. When you go to Cleveland with OBJ, he felt like he just had to get the ball to OBJ, not realizing that, hey, there's some other guys that are open, guys that I can get the ball to.
Yeah, like Jarvis Landry. That's what I don't understand either. You got OBJ and Jarvis Landry who are friends, and I'm like, how did that not even work out? They should have spread the ball better than what they did.
I know. Like I was on Jarvis Landry's side. I thought Jarvis Landry was a fine receiver for Baker to throw to, but then later on, I'm starting to think, oh, maybe Jarvis is a little bit, you know, like OBJ, where if he's not getting the ball, he kind of, I mean, throws a little fit. He wants the ball just to his way. It takes a toll on Baker just knowing that. I mean, you have to force the ball to a certain receiver.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
But, yeah, I'm just ready for him to get out of Cleveland, just start his new career and get back to – because we know – we've seen Six, like, get back to himself and the way he can just throw the ball and get the guys open. And I'm just ready to see that.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about the best moments Baker had in Norman. I miss one, though. I miss 2015 against Baylor is kind of forgotten, where they played Bryce Petty in Waco. That was kind of a game where, you know, OU really wasn't getting much love coming into that game.
Right.
Like, it was kind of a little bit of a trap game. OU, it wasn't looking good in the games before that, so not much people were, you know, really taking OU in that game. They thought Baylor would kind of run away with it, but we saw OU and Baylor kind of go back and forth in that 2015 game, and Baker Mayfield played exceptionally well, and he had Sterling Shepard went off for 14. I think he had like 14 catches for over 130 yards. So that's a game that sticks to me because there was plenty of plays that Baker Mayfield made in that game that really caught my attention.
Right. Have you noticed here lately, Baylor has been that trap game the last couple of seasons?
It has. Too. It has.
We don't get the respect that we needed, especially last year, man. That was just a collapse. We collapsed. Like, Gabe Berkich, you know, could not make any field goals.
Just nothing. You know? Just absolutely nothing was going right. And then goal, because we didn't know where – I like to call him Mulshue. A lot of people call him Mulshue, Lincoln Riley. But, I mean, we didn't know when he, you know, packed the bags. We didn't know when he, like, kind of just gave up on this team because they were coming off a bye week. So we're like, okay, maybe this is a game where OU can, you know, bring it all together and we can see both an offensive and defensive performance in Waco. But we did not see that.
No, we didn't. And, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people said that was the game they think he really gave it up. Because, I mean, it was no way we should have lost that game. Tristan Ebner went off on us on the run game. What's his name? Jerry Bohannon. You know,
Bohannon, right?
You know, and Bohannon, we won't ever forget that game when we played him. That's when they introduced us to Bohannon, and then the next year he became the starting quarterback for Baylor.
Yeah, and then Bohan was a guy in that, I don't remember the Big 12 championship from 2 years ago where Baylor had to go their second string. And then Bohan was their third string that came in. He just lit it up.
So that was Charlie Brewer. And then who was the second string? I can't remember the second string.
I can't think of the second one, but I know for sure it was Bohannon that came in as the third string.
Right.
But it was kind of, it was like deja vu from the Big 12 championship game because he really lit it up in that second half. And yeah, man, that Baylor game was a complete letdown. Just when we thought we were climbing back in it, I remember we needed a stop on third and it was third and forever. It was like third and 12. Baylor runs the ball and just not much effort on that defensive side. And they allowed a first down and boom, just like that, ball game over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hate that, man. But, you know, we got the right person in charge now who's going to lead us. And, you know, he's not going to let us down. I don't see that happen with Brent Venables. He's very respectful. You know, his head is in the right place. And then what I like about him, his tenure, you know, he don't hop from job to job. I think out of his whole career, he's been at two schools, OU and Clemson.
Well, and then he's pulled down.
I think
he's pulled. He had several D1. I mean, head coaching jobs that he kind of turned down because he wanted to stay in Clemson. So you really don't. Yeah, you really don't. You see a lot of guys kind of they see that head coaching job at a Power Five, especially being a defensive coordinator. Usually coaches hop on that, but that's not the case with Venables. He's kind of just waiting for this moment to come back to Norman.
Oh, yeah, and it was the right time. And, you know, like they say, you know when it's the right time, you know. And, like, I feel like his time was actually sincere versus Lincoln Riley, who just all of a sudden just packed up and left, you know. It was many times, like you say, he could have went off to other places and became a head coach, but this is where he wanted to be, waited a time to come, and look where he is now.
And I like this situation because I like having a head coach that, you know, takes a strong towards to the defensive spot rather than having a head coach that, you know, he's also the offensive coordinator. So this is something different that we're not used to seeing in Norman. So that's why I think that's what makes it a lot more exciting.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I don't know if you looked at USC's coach versus our coaching staff here at OU. Like we have like almost 50 people on the staff versus like I think they have like 15 at the most.
Yeah, there's, you know? I've noticed that too. There's not much guys on the coaching staff at Lincoln Riley right now.
That's how it was here. You know, before, you know, when he was a coach here, and I looked out and then I looked at other programs, I'm like, what kind of coaching staff do we have? And I feel like that's why we weren't successful because you had too many people trying to do multiple jobs. Why not take that stress off of you and pass that along to somebody else? And that's what happened with Lincoln Riley. He wants to be the head coach. He wants to be the offensive coordinator, all that different stuff. And that, you see, I mean, we succeeded, but we didn't get to that next level like we needed to.
I completely agree. And we didn't see, like, you see a lot of teams have offensive analysts and defensive analysts, guys who are just young and just getting into the coaching gig. We did not see that in Lincoln Riley's years at OU. And when we got Venables in, you're starting to see him, like, carry on some offensive analysts and defensive analysts to
– And former head coaches.
Right, you know? And former head coaches. The dude – yeah, the guy from Texas Tech.
Matt Wells.
Yep, Wells. So he's kind of getting everything ready for the SEC. He's wanting to have his guys ready to go. And I think the Matt Wells hire is just excellent. A guy who's had good success at Texas Tech. So I think it's great to bring him in. A guy who's got a lot of experience as a head coach and just what you need to go to the SEC.
Right, and also when he was at Utah State too, you know, can't forget about
his time. He had some good years at Utah State too. He took them to a lot of bowl games.
Yeah, so I think, you know, he got his head on right, and Venables know how to build a coaching staff, you know, just in under some of the best coaches, you know, Dabo Sweeney, you know. Yep. That's the thing. And that's the difference that I have noticed with Lincoln Riley and Brent Venables, you know, just looking at that coaching staff, you know, like you can't succeed with like a 15, you know, coach roster versus ours. Yeah. Who have like 40, you know, we have an actual coaching staff, support staff, and that soul team that they created this season.
Which, you know, I think that's excellent what they did with the soul team. So great job by Brent Venables on that part.
Yeah, and then the suits. You know, when
the suits, bring back the suits.
Yes, and that's how it should be. That's, you know, they're young men. You know, you need to build them for the future. Life after football, if they don't go to the NFL or if they don't go into coaching, prepare.
Which I don't know why this didn't happen earlier, because you see a lot of blue blood teams that have the, you know, the suits and ties in the profile pics. You saw that with Clemson, you see Alabama, and you see a handful of SEC teams with the suit and ties. I've always wondered why OU didn't do that, which I'm glad Venables got on that and they started it this year.
Yeah. I mean, I even see high schools that do it, you know.
So we talked about the position groups that we're excited to watch. We talked about the former players returning, guys like Kenny Stills, Lane Johnson, Tom Wart, guys who played under Venables and who were under his like system through his tenure at OU. We talked about, which I'm excited for, the D-line with Tulane transfer Jeffrey Johnson, Hawaii transfer Lune, and then Jalen Redmond, Ethan Downs. I think a dude that is kind of getting forgotten is David Agwebu.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Are you excited to watch David Agwebu? Because I've seen him really improve his game through his 2 years at OU so far. He's long, athletic. He's got a lot of speed on that defensive end position. So I am jacked up. I'm ready to see what he can do with just learning behind Todd Bates and Brent Venables.
Yeah. Also, some other guys that we forgot, like in the secondary, you know, we can't forget about DJ Graham.
Lawrence,
Jaden Davis is coming back. Woody Washington is coming back. You know, the transfers that we got, like CJ Colden from Wyoming, Connie Walker from Louisville, and then Trey Morrison from North Carolina. You know, so
all three of those transfers you mentioned, they all have size and length.
Yes.
Which Venables loves. He loves guys with size and length, guys who he can teach at that secondary position. Because we've seen OU be undersized in the secondary, which it's given them quite a bit of problems when they see teams with tight ends and receivers over 6'4", 6'5". It just creates just a big mismatch with OU secondary.
Right, and that's the thing, you know, like prime example, I'm a huge fan because I'm from Texas, you know, the DFW area. When I saw Billy Bowman Jr. out there in the back, and you see how small he is, but the dude can play. You know, I just feel like opposing teams saw that mismatch, and they would, you know, not double team him, but they will put their biggest receiver or their number one receiver on him. And, you know, it wasn't his fault, you know, because of the size, it's a mismatch. But they utilized that to their advantage, and, you know, they took advantage of him. But the dude is a player.
Yeah, you just mentioned Billy Bowman. I can't believe I forgot about him. But that's going to be a fun dude to watch with Brent Venables, because I wouldn't say he's small. I mean, he may be a little undersized, but he's kind of a big, thick dude that's in the secondary that can make plays. And we may see him return punts and kickoffs too, which I've seen some clips of him at practice. He can return punts and kicks. So he may be kind of a do-it-all guy in that OU secondary. Like I just said, you may see him returning kicks and punts.
Right.
So there's a lot of secondary guys that, you know, we can talk about that they're going to step up in this new Venables era. Key Lawrence, we saw him go from corner to safety. It looks like we're going to mainly see him in the safety position for OU. He's a hard-nosed guy, hard hitter. So yeah, he's going to be fun to watch too.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, man. It's it's just going to be an exciting year. It's just like new energy and new life is, you know, brought in. And that's the thing that's how you know there were problems within the locker room under the Riley regimen, because you see players doing totally different things. And then even like our strength and conditioning program wasn't top notch. Now that we have Smitty and, you know, seeing all his former, you know, videos, yeah, training videos, and, you know, notice the places that he left once he left OU, notice the places that he been, they were successful.
They were. A&M was a big one. And you saw I saw a handful of A&M players like respect Smitty, like when he announced that he was going to OU and talked about all the great moments he had with Smitty. I mean, there's some tough workouts. We saw a lot of former players talk about the workouts that they had to go through with Smitty, but at the end of the day, made him more successful, made him just ready for conference play.
Right. And you can see that they're going to be prepared, you know, rather than going in there getting just an easy workout and call it a day. That showed on the field last season.
You know? Yeah, we saw it was mainly like we saw like a lot of like hype videos with him and Roy Manning, which it was kind of, to me, it was kind of getting tiring, like seeing all that, like a lot of talk. It didn't really seem like much was, like I said, going on in the weight room. Which I didn't mind. I didn't mind Wiley coming in with the strength and conditioning staff, but I mean, he didn't really have much of a background coming into that. So that's why I like having Schmitty back. It's saying a lot with Venables bringing Schmitty back, and not just him, but other former OU guys, with Brandon Hall, for example, the safeties coach, which has a great background. With at Troy, being defensive coordinator at Troy, he really had some great numbers at Troy.
Right, and I like Jay, the hire, you know, the cornerbacks coach, because he's a DFW
from Alabama.
Yeah, he's a DFW product as well. So I like to see, you know, him coming from Bama. That says a lot. You know what I mean? He knows what it takes, and he's been on some other programs, and they have succeeded.
Well, Brandon, thanks for joining the Sooner Junkies podcast.
Man, thanks for the invite. Anytime, man. It was great talking OU spring football, you know, the previews, Baker Mayfield, whole situation with, you know, getting the statue unveiled finally after 2 years. So, you know, I look forward to it.
Saturday at 3 p.m., baby.